I'm not ashamed to say the King James Bible. I'm not ashamed to say that I believe that that's the Bible for us. I have been accused of being uneducated. Well, who doesn't know that? But I'm not been educated out of my Bible. You don't impress me if you got all the education in the world. Leave your finger there in the book of Romans and turn over to the book of Daniel. Leave your finger there in the book, of Corinthians, and then come over to the book of Daniel, and we'll show you something. What you have to understand is that in these last days, if we can destroy the authority, it's going to upset some people.
Come on,
you understand?
Yes.
The book is going to upset some people. I want you to get Daniel chapter number 12, and then I want you to get, if you will, please, it'll be Daniel chapter number, I'll find it here in a second. Get Daniel 12 first. Daniel chapter number 12. I'll get you the other one here in just a second. The Bible says this, verse number 1. And at the time Michael shall Michael stand up for the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time, and at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in
the book.
Have you ever stopped to think about this, ladies and gentlemen, that the book he's talking about might be the book that you have in your hands?
Amen.
I didn't say it was. I said, have you ever thought it was? And have you ever thought if you get to change into messing around with words and stuff that you may change how that thing's laid out on a matrix right there, and you may mess something up when it comes to what you're doing there? It may be your parts written there. I don't know. Come down a little further. Verse number 4, but thou, O downer, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Father, I pray now that you might bless the time that we have here together. Help us to realize the importance of these things. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. You may have a seat. If you remember over there go to Daniel chapter number 9, you remember over there in the book of Ezra, they get ready to have a revival. And you know what he says? He says, have them bring the book. So if the book's not important, why is it continually referred to on a regular basis?
Right.
You get up there to heaven. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says you get up there to heaven. He says, bring the books. There's a book of remembrance there. There's a book of works up there. There's a book of genetic code up there. We have to go over all this stuff sometime. There's a book that's up there called the Lamb's Book of Life. And the books, plural, were opened. And so one of the things you want to know is that God's a bookish God. Now, if God says that He's got records written in heaven, why wouldn't He give you a record down here on earth?
Amen.
The answer is He did give you a record down here on earth. The problem is that if people have educated you out of that and you feel like you're some dumb thump that just fell off the back of a turnip truck somewhere, if you believe that God could preserve a book, well, the audacity of that. I think there's one pure thing on the face of this earth. I've said it, but I'm going to say it again, and that's that King James Bible. I believe that. And you say, well, you know, wait till we get to heaven and get things settled like we talked about this morning. Notice here in the book of Daniel, Daniel chapter number 9, the first year of Darius, the son of Azarias, the seed of the Medes, the Bible says, made a king over the realm of the Chaldeans. In the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by
books.
Well, Daniel's a pretty smart fella, isn't he? So what I tried to get across to you this morning is, come back now, if you will, please, to the book of Corinthians. 1 Corinthians will be chapter 10, where we're going to be, is to tell you that what the Antichrist system is to try to destroy your faith and the authority of that book.
Amen.
And if he does that, then you're no different than just gathering for any other kind of a social gathering.
That's right.
There's one book I believe that pleases God, and I believe if you got a King James Bible, you got it in your lap.
Amen.
You say, well, what about, don't worry about all the whatabouts, worry about what deals with you. What about the heathen in Africa? You're not in Africa, what impact does that have on you? You see, there's all kind of ways for us to duck out from underneath things. You say, well, what about the people that don't have a King James Bible? You got a King James Bible.
Amen.
What about you that has a King James Bible?
Amen.
You know what the Bible says? To him who much is given, much is required. A church has turned into sort of a social function. You forgot the reason why it does. I know why it's eroded that way. Well, there's no authority who wants to hear what's being said anymore. You heard about the old preacher that got up there. He was a chaplain in the military, and he got up there, and the guys were getting ready for the D-Day invasion. And he said, would you fellas like a story or a sermon? And old hillbilly back in the back, I'm trying to remember how the story goes, old hillbilly back in the back says, well, I want to ask you a question first. And he said, well, what's the question? He said, you believe there's a hell or ain't there? He said, no, I don't believe there's a hell. Why would I believe there's a hell? I don't believe God's a torture mattress you want to put there. And he said, well, if that's the truth, then if there ain't no hell, why do we want to hear a sermon? And he said, if there is a hell, use a liar who wants to hear a liar preach. Right? That almost makes enough sense that you can understand that. Why would I want to hear what you got to say, and what difference does it make if there ain't no hell? And if there is, you're a liar, so why do I want to listen to you talk anyway? How do you know a man's not lying to you? The book! But if I take the book out of the way, then you're kind of like, well, I like him, and he talks so nice, and he's just smiling all the time, and he just, I think he has my best interest at heart. Not if he's lying to you, he don't.
Right, amen.
But you don't know if he's lying or not if you don't have the book.
Amen.
So the Lord gave you the book. Now, we get into the second part of that thing I mentioned to you this morning. I told you that the second thing that the Lord wants to do, or the devil wants to do, is to try to destroy the impact the church has on the world. And I told you that what he tries to do is attack that which Jesus Christ died for. You're part of the church. The Bible says the Lord loved the church and gave himself for it. Is that right?
Amen.
All right. Now, if he did that, where's the devil's attack? It's going to be on his authority. Genesis 3. We went over that this morning.
Amen.
And then it's going to be on what he bought and paid for, Christians in the church. Would you agree with that?
Amen.
And I showed you that, but I showed you the misconception that is being taught nowadays in most places is that a Christian's supposed to get along with everybody and go along with the flow of the world and just be quiet and get along with that kind of thing. That's not biblical. I tried to show you that if you live for Jesus Christ, they're going to not like you.
Amen.
You don't have to be mean-spirited or arrogant or obnoxious. You just live for the Lord. And trust me when I tell you, they're not going to like you.
Amen.
But guess what? The Bible I showed you this morning shows you that's the right thing they're supposed to do. They're not supposed to like you.
Amen.
If the world likes you, something's wrong. You're too much like them and not enough like Him.
Amen.
And I tried to show you that. Now, I also mentioned to you that there are conflicts, there are deceitful things that go on nowadays. I mentioned this in Sunday school for those of you that weren't here for Sunday school. And I said that what they're trying to do is to get you to choose and water down the day that we choose to meet, which is Sunday.
Right.
And now I've got people that write me letters on a regular basis and say, we don't esteem one day above another day, and we don't think that Sunday has to be to meet on Sunday, and we think under the circumstances you can do this and you can do that. Hey, we've been meeting on Sunday. We're going to keep meeting on Sunday. If it conflicts with your schedule, then either rearrange your schedule or work us in whenever you can. We're not going to stop having church on Sunday. I'm not closing church due to the public being busy. We're just busy today and we just can't make it. Okay, well, I'll just meet with me and my wife because she's going to be here unless she's sick. And so the rest of you that want to be here, and if you're too busy for that, that's fine. Don't be offended by that.
Amen.
Well, I got things I got to do and you don't understand, so I'm going to give you some passages today that talks about balance. Some of you are like, well, that means I can't ever miss a Sunday. I didn't say that. But I did say that when missing Sundays gets to be a regular thing for you, something's out of order.
Amen.
Well, preacher, you don't understand. You know, listen, man, I had to work on Sunday. I didn't always get to burn up my days. There were days where I had to go and say, well, I'd like to have off. He said, well, you can't have off. Other people are off. Now, I could have gotten fired or quit, or I could understand that I have to work. That's just part of what goes on. I'm not talking about that. You say, well, you know, preacher, I'm providentially hindered. You know, the ox is in the ditch. Yeah, but you kicking the ox in the ditch don't work for me.
Amen.
You can't reach over there and say, you know, the ox is in the ditch. Preacher, got to go ahead and go to work on Sunday. You know how it is, you know. But it's funny how it's starting to happen. Brother Richard said to me earlier, we were getting a cup of coffee, he said, you know something, preacher? He said, I don't know if you know this or not. He said, guess when all the specials run at the restaurants? And I said, what? He said, Wednesday night. It started a long time ago where they started filling up your Wednesday nights with other extracurricular things to do, the school system and all this. So, hey, Wednesday night's a good night to do that. Why not Monday or Tuesday or Thursday or Friday? I don't know.
Right, amen.
But Friday night started getting interrupted with football games and basketball games and baseball games and ping pong games or whatever else goes on, sock hops and everything else. And so they said, well, I guess it'll be Wednesday night. And so there began to be a conflict. Well, what do you do when that conflict comes up? And, oh, well, you know, preacher, you just don't understand. You know, we really need to participate in those activities because
good.
Now listen, I didn't tell you that you can't. Don't go out of here and think that I think you're a bad Christian if you don't or if you do. I didn't say that at all. I simply said it's an opportunity to say, you know something, we're kind of looking at eternity and we're kind of weighing this thing out and don't really necessarily know the importance of that.
Amen.
I know kids get sick. I'm not sure why it is that both parents have to stay home with one sick kid, but that's something that sometimes what happens.
Oh, amen.
But both parents don't stay home from work the next day.
Right. Amen.
I'm just trying to show you the contrast of how we as a church have slipped. And I know this is uncomfortable. And I know that it's become commonplace. So it's my job as a preacher to just simply blow it up, let you look at it and go, hey, that don't fit me, man. I'm good. Me and the Lord, you know what? We down, we tight, we good. No problem like that. Okay, fine. But if it's not that way, or if it's slipping into an area that it doesn't need to be, it's kind of like, I need to check up and move up.
Amen.
So there's a balance to this stuff.
Amen.
I realize there's times where people have to be out of town and people have to travel and people have to work and different things like that. I did not say all sports are the devil.
Right.
I like sports.
Right.
I just don't know why they choose to do it on Sunday.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I'm going to say something, and I don't mean to be offensive, but my dad had an opportunity to play not only professional baseball, but to play a professional golf. And my dad played oftentimes in tournaments, and Saturday would come, and he might even be kind of close to the top. And he'd say, okay, fellas, enjoyed it, and had a good time. They said, well, you coming back tomorrow? I said, no, tomorrow's Sunday. So, well, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. No, I don't think you understand. Now, those are choices you make, but don't go out of here and say, well, the preacher thinks if you miss a Sunday, you're the devil. I didn't say that. Well, he's just trying to get people to church and all that. I'm not trying to get you to church because it's doing something for me. I'm not trying to fill pews and trying to make it look good to people that are watching on the box thing up there. I'm simply trying to say to you, it comes down to choices, and sometimes those choices to follow Jesus Christ cost you. Do you not remember that when we were studying the book of Luke, do you not remember the Bible said, whoso loveth mother or father, sister or brother, husband or wife, or mammon, and forsaketh not all, yea, even his life also, cannot be my disciple. I didn't say that. I didn't say to you, Lord, I'd love to follow you, but I need to go back and check on my family. The Lord said, I'll see you later. What kind of way is that, Lord? The Lord didn't say, you need to go bury your dad. What a thing to say. Let the dead bury the dead.
Amen.
I'm leaving. Preaching and being with me is more important than burying your dead dad.
Amen.
Wow. Right. Yeah. Wow. But the church nowadays has got this convoluted idea of, hey, we're here and you just come whenever it's good for you. We don't want to inconvenience you. Well, what's beginning to slip, ladies and gentlemen, is not my generation, but it slipped from where it used to be. Even in my generation, it slipped from where it used to be. But the generation behind me is now, that's the crowd putting the pressure on me of, oh, but preacher, you know, the church down there, they have church for us on Saturday night because they know we got the football game on Sunday. So now what is this? I read my Bible. Check. I prayed. Check. I studied. Check. Church attendance. Check. I'm good. I got it all down. I did it. They don't have a Saturday morning and a Saturday night service. They don't have a Wednesday night service. They have a Saturday night service and they have a Sunday morning service, and you pick whichever one you want. So what difference does it make as long as we're in church? Well, you tell me, does it make a difference or not? Since when is it written in the Bible the church is supposed to be at your convenience? Church is given to you for your benefit. It's not, that don't prove nothing to the Lord. He gave it to you to be a benefit to you. But the way people are nowadays, they don't care. You think the Lord's going to let it just roll on if you don't like it? You know what the Lord will do? If you don't like it, He'll just say, okay, I'll take it to somebody that does. After what we talked about this morning, the price He paid and gave us the opportunity to be here, I'd think maybe, just possibly, you might think, wow, that ain't really too much to ask. But you see, nowadays what's starting to happen is kind of like, well, you're putting pressure on me. That's too much to ask. It was a foregone conclusion in days gone by that if you were a Christian, that meant you went to church just as much as a horse ate grass.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. Oh, okay. Well, I guess you go to church. Oh, well, I wouldn't dare ask you to go somewhere on a Sunday because you're a Christian. You ain't going to be with me fishing in the fishing hole. You're going to be at the church house. That's how it used to be. Now it's like, well, I'm a Christian. Okay, well, we're going to the game Sunday. You want to go? Sure, man. Yeah, it's just another day. We don't esteem one day. That's the brilliant theologian. More than another day, it doesn't really matter. I worship Jesus in my house all the time, and I'm in great fellowship with Jesus. I don't need a church building. Keep messing around, I'll take it away from you.
So we don't have to meet in a building and in the old. Listen, I know all your theological arguments to justify you doing something that you know is not right. And one day you're going to answer the Lord. Listen, you don't answer to me. You understand that? You don't answer to me. You'll answer one day to Him. And if you don't, listen, no problem. But there are people that it costs them everything just to be able to assemble. And God's given it to you freely, as I didn't get to that point this morning. And He says to you, listen, here it is for you. And it's absolutely free. And the doors are open. All you got to do is get your blessed assurance and get it in the car and get there, or somebody will get there. I'll take care of the rest. Well, I got to really check my day timer, Lord. I just don't really know if I can do that. It's my only day off. I'm just so tired. So is it possible? I know this is so unkind to say this, but is it possible that maybe then you're doing too much during the week if you don't have anything left over for Him at the end of the week? I'm just asking you. Can I ask you a question? You think you're going to get Diddy points because you work 25 hours a day? I know there's 24 hours in a day. You think you're going to get credit for that when you get to heaven? I get a merit badge when I get up to heaven because of the amount I worked. Really? You think it'll count for something? That's how you soothe your conscience. You know why God put this place here? He said, hey, it's Sunday morning. What are you going to do about it, buddy? Get the newspaper and another cup of coffee and a cigarette? Fire it up? Well, the way I see it is, you know, I don't have to go to church. I'm by far on the pastor of my own household anyhow. It don't make no difference to me. And honey, bring me that coffee over here, maybe some scrambled eggs and stuff. Like, well, honey, would you like to go to church? I don't need to go to church. That guy don't know what he's talking about anyway. Who does he think he is? You've been watching too much television or something, man. I don't have to go to church to be saved. No, you don't. The church isn't for saved people, for unsaved people. It's for saved people. It's what you do after you're saved. It's like after you get married, you go home together. It's what you do. Now, I want to try to help you to this, to understand that when you start doing those kind of things, even the Christians are going to be contrary to you. Look, if you will, please, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10, and he's talking about, in verse number 16, he's talking about communion with the Lord. The Bible says, a cup of blessing, which is blessed, is not that communion of the blood of Christ. I'm in 1 Corinthians 10, 16. The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? For we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, are they not they which eat of the sacrifice, the partakers of the altar? What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols anything? Paul says, it don't make no difference to me, man. We know what the cup of the devil's, the table of the devil is, the table of the Lord is. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that you should have fellowship with devils. He just called the Gentiles a devil because they're sacrificing to devils. And that means devils must come up to get the sacrifice. That means that when I go to worship something other than God, something comes up to receive that worship. So I can participate in a worship service, and it's not always a godly worship service. Notice what he says. You cannot. I would rather you not, but you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's tables and the table of devils. Do you provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? Question mark. What makes you think you can walk in the world and walk with, and why would you get upset with a preacher? Say, well, I'm walking in the world and I'm coming to church. What would make you think that that's perfectly okay with God? I don't know whether you are or not. But what makes you think that it can be both ways? Well, I can go out and live the world for 6 days and I can come over here and do my one service a week and I'm good to go. You think one service a week is going to offset all the stuff you're going through during? You must not go through the same world I go through. Man, I got to have tapes and CDs and cotton picking Bible and all kind of stuff blaring all the time to drive that other foolishness out. I mean, yeah, even preaching. The kind of preaching I listen to, most of y'all wouldn't listen to. I mean, I listen to that old-timey stuff, that stuff that you feel like he tattoos you with a 4x4 kind of stuff. They weren't near as sophisticated and nice nowadays. I mean, they just about cuss you from the pulpit without, you know, in the name of Jesus without saying foul words. But it's kind of like, good night, man. And it's still blaring up, and they're dead. And you're thinking, man, he's going to come jumping out of that thing. And you feel the Holy Ghost come sit down in that car and say, yeah, what about that? And you're like, oh, man, you're breaking out in a sweat all over the place. I got to have that stuff to keep the other stuff from coming in. Now, maybe you folks aren't like that. Maybe you're hyper-spiritual. Maybe one service a week's all you can do, or maybe all you can take. I don't know. But I'm trying to tell you that in these last days, what the devil wants to do is destroy your authority, and he wants to make you think you've got to get along with the world, and he wants to destroy your church by telling you it's not that important for you to be there. Don't worry about it. You don't need no spiritual food. I mean, all we do is just question everything that comes out of the pulpit anyway, and we can't trust no man. But God set it up that way. You want people to trust you when you make a business deal. You want your kids to trust you when you tell them what to do right. When a preacher gets up and says, "Thus saith the Lord," you're kind of like, "Well, I don't know. That's just his opinion." That's the devil. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God said. Yea, hath God. Sure, there ain't no man perfect. I don't claim to be no pontiff with no fish hat on me and claim to speak ex cathedra from the seat and say, you know, I'm the vicar of Christ here. I'm God's representative on earth. I'm a sinner just like you are. I'm just a saved sinner and a preaching sinner. That's all I am. I've never claimed to be otherwise. Don't throw that junk in my face. Now, well, you know, you're not infallible. Hey, get off your high horse. I never claimed to be. I just do the best I possibly can. I got to look at your face all the time. You think this is easy to do? But I'm trying to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it's what the devil's trying to do to destroy the place that God opened up for you to get some help. And you need to cut and pick and push back a little bit against the world and against the devil. Say, hey, I am not going to let that in my life. Get out! It's already in through your television and through your computer, and now it has crept into the church. Well, you know, get that church out. You know, it makes me uncomfortable. He's talking about a TV and talking about the internet, talking about Twitter and talking about Facebook and talking about... And you got to understand, shut up with your compromising foolishness. If you want to do it, fine, but don't think there's nothing wrong with me saying, hey, you might want to check it. You just don't know how I use the Facebook. Okay, praise the Lord. I didn't say if you had Facebook, you're the devil. But I did say that oftentimes before we had Facebook, we did not have a lot of the problems we have today. Nor the internet, nor television, nor rock and roll for that matter. But what's happened is we gradually slip, we gradually slip, we gradually slip, we gradually make alibis and make adjustments and make compromise and you know, let it slip in and yeah, well, you know, and you don't really know how it is and we gotta do this and it's the way of the world today and it's really alright and then the next thing you know, you wonder why people come to the church house and they're like, well, why would I go there? It's just like the people out there in the business world. It's because you're letting it slip. That's why. You're backing off. You're getting sophisticated. You're like, I don't have to be so arrogant and obnoxious. Some of you, it'd be better if you got a little bit of that back in you again. You started allowing stuff in that even as little as 5 years ago, you wouldn't have thought about letting it in. And now you're mad at me because it's like, oh, I gotta have it. I mean, I can't do without it. And I don't see anything wrong with it. Okay, no problem. I'll get to it later on in the passage where the Apostle Paul says all things are expedient, are lawful, but all things are not expedient. I get to the point where he says you've got liberty, you can do what you want, but make sure you don't turn that liberty into an occasion to be lascivious in the flesh. You see, you're kind of getting where we're sort of strutting around a little bit about how much liberty we got. That's just a soothing or a sedating of the conscience that says, well, what might have used to have been wrong. We're sophisticated. If you ain't in Corinth right now, I'll kiss your foot. Your big toe. You are in Corinth right now as sure as I'm standing here and the church has become carnal and they're trying to justify getting along with the world. Well, for the sake of business, preacher, you got to understand. You got to do these things. Well, you know, preacher, in order to not be an outcast, in order to not be an off-scouring, you know, you got to do that. You just don't understand. You got to. Says who? Says who?
Right.
I don't understand that. And so all of a sudden, somebody finally stands up and says, hey, you know what's enough? I'm pushing back. I'm watching our kids, church kids, getting washed right down the stream. And everybody's going, I don't know how that happened. Mine too, just so you know. Before you get that uppity, snotty sort of a way about you and think, oh, well, it's easy for him to say, mine too. They're making bad decisions too. Who's praying for them? Who's concerned about them? Say, well, you should. I'd be so embarrassed if you said that. Yeah, well, the fact of the matter is, it's going on with yours too. You're just making it look like it's something it ain't. You're losing them, and I'm telling you right now, when they grow older, there'll be nothing left behind because you turn it loose. Push back! Protect them. Leave them a legacy. Leave them something. I'm up there with a dozen or so of these little bitty ones up there. I said, look, we got just a couple minutes. So y'all have Bible questions. All these little ones asking these Bible questions.
Amen.
And I'm thinking, my goodness, man, they're like, when the devil's here and the Antichrist here, are they here at the same time or does one inhabit the other body? And I'm thinking, Lord, have mercy. And right now up in the heaven, the devil's a seven-headed red dragon, right, preacher? And I'm like, right, good. What else is swimming around with him up there? Wow, well, principalities and powers. I remember that. Yeah, principalities, powers, spirit, wisdom, high places. Okay, high places. Okay, they're up there. And they're like, wow. I'm thinking to myself, man, isn't that what church is all about?
Yes.
I mean, man, they're up there. It's not just about quoting a bunch of verses. Yes. God's real to them. But I'm telling you right now, if you don't push back, if you don't say, hey, look, you know what? That's too much for me. That's what you want to do. You live in a free country. You can do what you want. But for me and my house, I ain't doing it. Choose you this day whom you'll serve. Well, see, you don't understand. The way you've got to understand, preacher, we're in this thing for the long haul. You've got to learn to get along with people. Wow. That theology is creeping so much into the church nowadays. That when you say anything at all about having any kind of a standard of living,
right,
nowadays, modern Christians begin to go, oh, here we go with legalism.
Amen.
I ain't a stinking legalist.
Amen.
I don't dictate a form of living from the pulpit. You know what I say? You follow Jesus Christ, that'll take care of all the rules and regulations you need. But God help you if you mention, hey, we're slipping a little bit. Starting to let the wrong things into your house again. Starting to let the wrong stuff into your ears again. Starting to let the wrong stuff in your eyes again. You're starting to let the wrong way of thinking into your heart again. And you say, why am I getting corrupted? Oh, I don't know. You answer this question for me. You sit down and listen to that stuff for hours and hours and hours every day, and there's no Bible to push it the other way. Who's thinking you think you're going to get? Just as much as God uses a church and a Bible, the devil uses every other form. The prince of the power of the air uses every other form of medium to corrupt you. There's some of you people that have been here for 20 years, and you know what you're doing? You're starting to listen to the stuff. And say, well, I don't really see a problem with that anymore. No big deal anymore. That's old-fashioned stuff back years ago before we had any sense. Really? Because you've got a TV, just anything comes across, it's okay. Says who? Now I'm going to give you the other side of this, okay? So just so you know, let me work some steam off here. Because we're losing people. The world's gobbling them up and taking them right down the cotton-picking stream. I guess until it comes to your household, you won't get upset about it. I guess you just let it keep going and keep going and keep going until one of your kids gets it.
Right.
And then you'll go, I wish that preacher had been doing something about this. I don't know what the problem is with him. Wonder why he backed off. I don't know. Maybe you threatened to leave if I jumped on it too hard. Maybe you let me know. You're crossing the line now. We don't believe in that legalistic stuff. Get hard like that, tell me what to do. Nobody tells my family what to do. Ease up, big fella. I don't want to tell your family what to do. You ain't going to tell her what to do. You think I am? I'm going to give you the other side to it in just a minute now. Before you get good and mad, I'll let you get good and mad before I'm done. God gives you a choice in that. You think this is rough. You should have been here a few years ago. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, I'm trying to tell you that what you've got is worth fighting for.
Amen.
And what you've got is what has an eternal consequence to it. And if you don't push back, you know what God will say? Just stamp Ichabod over that church and I'll leave it just like I've left every other church. They'll turn the place into a cotton-picking fertilizer factory for that matter. It'll do nothing. You say, God wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, God would do that. If you don't want God, you know what He'll do? He'll say, see you later. He never persuades you against your will. You're where you are tonight because you don't want to be any closer. Oh, well, what?
You look all constipated. I'm like blowing off steam like a teapot or something. No, cut it out. You know I just told you the truth. Don't tell me the Holy Spirit hadn't already said to you, now you know He's telling you the truth. I ain't admitting it. I wouldn't give Him the satisfaction of knowing that He's telling the truth. Ah, Lord have mercy. I get ready to, people get ready to come to the altar. It's like, well, if I go to the altar, He'll think He preached a great sermon. I'm not going. And you say, I'm telling the truth. Amen. Hey, can I ask you a question? What happened to that, just that old-fashioned, old-timey, I came to church to get right with God thing? What happened to the days of, hey, listen, man, we just get up and let her rip, tater chip, and you people would be eating the paint off of the wall. I mean, you'd be like, oh, this is great, man. Oh, hit me again. Hit me again. Oh, hit me again. And now you're like, why is that guy hollering back there? But you know what happens? You're losing the fight. And tell me you're not. And the last stand is right here. You remember years ago, there was a message that was preached years ago called, You're Not Going to Take My Pea Patch. About the boy that stands there, Dodo, and the sword becomes clave to his hand, and he defends the pea patch. That was his last stand. I'm telling you right now before God, I am not a prophet, but according to the Bible, this is your pea patch, and there ain't many of them left. And if you don't defend the pea patch, I'm telling you now, it'll be corrupted with weeds before long. And it'll be just like every other place. Now, if what you've seen God do here don't mean nothing to you and you think it's everywhere, then go ahead and let the weeds grow. But I'm telling you right now, you are in the last days. I don't care if it's 10 more years before the Lord comes. We're backing up. And it's time that when they come and push us, we're like, okay, you can push all you want, but we ain't backing up no more. You've gone as far as you're going to go. We'll take your 501(c) thing away from you. Nobody will contribute to the church. Okay, well, Lord took care of that before there was ever a tax exemption. We don't need you. Fine. Well, don't you want to get along with that? No.
Amen.
Well, why don't you come with the Interfaith Council? Because first of all, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And second of all, I don't have nothing in common with you. Oh, we're all trying to help people. What? Your ministry is helping people? Here's going to upset you. I'm here to glorify Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I'm here to point you to Him.
Amen.
If you get help, it's up to you.
Amen.
How you like that? You want responsibility?
Yes.
That's your responsibility. It's my job to show you, to light him. There he is right there. Go get him. Sick him. Go get 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 him. If you don't get help, that's because you wouldn't take the medicine.
Amen.
Listen, this Mephibosheth kind of Christianity where we all time walk around caring everybody and begging everybody and pleading everybody and won't you please and don't you want to, like we're so desperate. We'll just take anybody, you know. Oh, just come fill up the pew. We got to have you. We got to have you. You're so important to us. You mean so much to us. I mean, we'll just die without you. And then it's kind of like Jesus says, hey, what about me? Yeah, whatever. We're kind of busy. We're good without you. We can run it without you. The Lord's out there going, I know what I'm talking about. This is the last stand. You're in the last days. And some of you here right now, you know what you're going to live to see? You're going to live to see the day when the preacher's 10 toes up. You're going to live to see the day when the people that used to stand for the Bible and stand for this place and stand for God, that they're 10 toes up or they're out the door because of something got under their saddle blanket they ain't got over. And you're going to live to see the day, if you don't do something about it, where some jackleg's going to be standing up here and this place has had one of the few places that had some of the greatest preachers in the entire world come through here. Not me excluded, but them there. And you're going to live to see some jackleg standing right there. You say, why? We're not exempt. God says in the book of Jeremiah, I will give them a pastor, a preacher, after the desires of their heart.
Some of you came, you're very kind after the sermon today. Appreciate that, really helped me. It was a real blessing. I appreciate that. Appreciate that. Thank you very much. Blah, 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 and so on and so forth. And I said, thank you. I didn't, you know, oh, well, to God be the glory, you know. And no, I thank you. I appreciate the encouragement. But you know what you don't understand? That had nothing to do with me. That's you praying. That's you saying, God, I want to know something. That's you taking the bit and bridle off and saying, God, if He says it, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do. That's your fault. That has nothing to do with an ability that I have. But just as much as God will give you the truth, God will feed you a lie so fast it'll make your cotton picking head swim if when you get the truth, you decide not to do nothing with it. He'll turn that mind of yours into a reprobate mind, and He'll seal that cotton picking thing over so much so that your conscience will be seared, and you'll find yourself doing stuff you never dreamed possible, because the Holy Spirit will only dwell with you just so long till He finally says, okay, see you in eternity, Christian, saved person, convert. I'm going to keep my word for you, but it's obvious you don't want me around. So you're threatening me. I'm not threatening you at all. I'm promising you. It's a biblical truth. That ark left over there, and that baby comes out, and they say, well, what's a good name to name the baby? Ichabod, the glory of the Lord hath departed. I don't care if we got 10 or 10,000, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't stick to the old time way and do things the biblical way of doing things, and you get caught up in this modern foolishness that's going around nowadays, as soon as you do that, the Lord will say, well, I guess that place has gone out. There are churches all up there where I just was. The famous churches, big churches, where big preachers were that did a whole lot when the movement was going, the Baptist movement and so on and so forth. Those places don't even have Baptists on their signs anymore. You say, why? They turned it over to the people. They said, y'all, well, the first thing we need to do, get that cotton picking Baptist off there. Ain't nobody going to come. Change the music. Get us a big robed choir and, you know, get that round mouth going, you know, and you whoa. Don't act like no redneck. Amen. I like good singing, and I don't care if you got an operatic voice or not. Lift your voice up and give it to the Lord. But let me just tell you something. That country twang has just as much of a place as the other does. You ain't got to be sophisticated to come to Jesus. Have you looked in the mirror lately? God takes you just like you are. Is that right? You lose that little bit of a country feel to your church, you headed for trouble because now you're highfalutin. Now you're big shot. Now the next thing you know, well, you know, the preacher's got them people up there. They got tattoos. I'll take every one of them. They may have a tattoo on their skin, but they got Jesus in their heart. What's your problem?
That's right.
I ain't never been divorced. I know. They got a whole lot better attitude and spirit than you do. You think you're something because you hadn't been. You're mean as a cotton-picking snake. A whole lot of things worse in the Bible than a divorce. Oh my God, they've been divorced. What business is that of yours? I don't ask anybody their pedigree when they come in here. You want to come or you want to get saved? Get saved. After you get saved, you want to join church? Fine, no problem. Here's what we do. Well, is that all? Yeah. I mean, if you want to be a part of us, God help you. But you know what you people do? You get all hung up on people's past lives. I wish they'd cover that thing up with an ace bandage. It's a good thing, boy, God doesn't let me do some of the things I'm telling you. If I had it, if I had one right here, I'd uncover that thing and say, bless God, I ain't wearing an ace bandage for you.
Amen.
I hope I just hear
come on, man! Come on!
But I wouldn't do that. I'm very pastoral now. Some of you don't have a mark on your skin, but you got all kind of marks and scars on your heart. Some of you got some stuff that you've done, and some of the things that if we were to do it, we'd be throwing up here in 15 minutes. But nobody can see it on the outside. And you think you're better because you can point to somebody who you can see the outer results. Trust me, when you open your mouth, we can't see it, but we can sure smell it. It's foul. Stinks. When you get under conviction, you're looking for a spear to nail somebody to the wall who's just trying to be a blessing to you. I don't know why that is. I think the only reason I can figure is that if a person's a friend of Jesus, I don't know why you wouldn't be their friend unless you weren't Jesus' friend.
Amen.
You've got some good men and women in this place. It's cost them their cotton-picking shirt to be in this place. And they, you know why it's here? Because they honestly, with all their heart, believe that this is what Jesus Christ wanted to do in this place on Hartley Road in Jacksonville, Florida.
Amen.
Stop apologizing for it. I'm wore out with that.
You don't have to apologize for me. I'm sorry if I embarrass you. But you don't have to apologize for me. Hey, there he is. He is what it is.
Amen.
I've been here 25 years. He ain't changing.
Right.
It's hard to say if that's what you want him to do. He ain't going to Dale Carnegie. Forget it. He'll preach to you on heaven today and tell you you're living like hell tonight. So that's just how it is.
I mean,
he'll encourage you 1 minute and then kick the cotton picking ladder out from under you and bloody your nose and skin your knees. And you'll walk out of there going, oh, the balm feels so good. And then he'll take the lash out and you'll be like, oh, man, I'm out. Yeah. How are you doing there? I'm fine. I went to church today. I'm good, man. I'm good. That's how he is. You say, what is balance?
Yeah.
Understand, you're fighting a war. You're fighting a battle. This ain't for little kiddies, ladies and gentlemen. This is not a nursery. This ain't a toddlerville. This ain't a playground. You folks, on a Sunday night, you need to understand you are engaged in a war greater than one in the rock pile or over there in the desert. You're in a spiritual battle. Guess what? There's going to be some casualties. Guess what? There's going to be some cost associated with it. Guess what? It has more intrinsic value than any value of any war that has ever been fought since the beginning of mankind. But it is a war. Stop making the mistake of thinking you're playing in the millennium. You're in a war. So you know what you got to learn to do? Be a soldier. Like being in another country. And those of you that have been in the rock pile over there, or maybe in Vietnam, or maybe any number of other places like Brother St. Clair was and that kind of a deal, Brother Jim, some of you fellas that were over in those horrible places during all that time, you're not over there because you love that place.
Amen.
You're over there to get a job done and get out.
Right. Amen.
Did you just get the illustration?
Amen.
You're not supposed to be here because you love this place.
God bless America. Land that I... Amen.
I'll fight for it. I appreciate it. I'd rather be here than anywhere else.
Amen.
But I'm not going to be more concerned about what's happening in America than I am to the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And you ain't going to turn it around and try to make it spiritual to be for God, guns and guts. God could care less about your Second Amendment right.
Amen.
You're the only nation on the face of this earth that has that right. You can't go to a foreign country and... Brother Phillips just got back from Haiti. I'm sure he's over there passing out constitutional literature. Saying, hey, you know they're trying to take your Second Amendment right? The right to bear arms. They're like, really? I was just kind of looking for a rat to eat, man. If I had a gun, I could shoot one, you know. But I'm... Really? They let y'all have guns over there? Oh, Second Amendment right!
Amen. Amen.
They're taking our rights away. You know why the Lord has you paying taxes? You ever think about it? So you have less to spend on yourself.
Amen.
And to make you understand that somebody has to pay for some of the comforts you have, whether you take them for granted or not.
Amen.
Keep you honest.
That's right.
Instead of making you somebody like a hobo running through here, you know what you're supposed to do? You're supposed to love the country you're from. When you got saved, you become an ambassador for His country. How come you're so interested in pursuing the rights of your fellow Americans?
Amen.
My fellow American. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ is saying to you, Bride of Christ, family of God, how come you're so much like the world?
Amen.
Church, how come you look like the rest of the world? You don't think He would? Say, well, you know, WWJD, what would Jesus do? If Jesus was down here, He'd puke all over the floor.
Amen.
You say, why? You've lost your separation.
Amen.
From the world. Amen. Makes you uncomfortable to think about it. There's just some things you shouldn't do.
Amen.
You say, why? Because you're a Christian.
Amen.
He didn't say you couldn't do it.
Right.
All things are lawful. Romans chapter number 7, you know what the Apostle Paul says? If I do sin, it wasn't me that sinned, it was him that sinned.
Right.
He's talking to himself.
Right.
He's looking in the mirror and he's going, it wasn't me, it was him.
Yeah.
He's talking about, it wasn't my spirit that did it, it wasn't my soul that did it, it was the fellow on the outside that did it. Well, he's right, But that fellow on the outside can sure, as I'm telling you here, can stand between your relationship with Jesus Christ in a second, boy, and break that fellowship. But he can't break your sonship. Are you with me so far? Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's up to us to have a come-to-Jesus meeting, as they call it. Get some ammonia capsules and jam up our nose and examine your own life. You know, not just, well, I don't smoke and drink and cuss and chew and go with them that do, and I don't commit adultery and fornication, and I don't do all other kind of stuff. Why don't you get down there with God sometime and pray about your faithfulness and your attitude toward things? Why don't you pray about your bitterness and your anger and your wrath and your malice? Why don't you pray about your evil thoughts and evil communications? Why don't you pray about that? Why don't you pray about not loving one another? Isn't that what he said in the opening passage? Why don't you pray about that? Lord, do I love them like I should love them? No, you don't. You need to work on that. Lord, it's just I love them. I don't have to like them. How do you love them and not like them? You ever pray for your enemies? Lord says to. That's too much like Christianity, though, isn't it? Well, you got to be like Jesus to do that. Yeah, I guess you do. You think Jesus would be comfortable in the majority of our churches today? If Jesus were to come in and sit down unannounced like an angel unaware, come in and sit down in most of the churches today. I'm not comparing ourselves to other people. Well, would he be comfortable? Can I ask you this question? Would he be comfortable if he had fellowship with you? Are you sure you'd keep doing the same things you're doing if Jesus was there? Are you sure you would? You sure you'd talk about people the way you do? Are you sure? Like God can't hear it? Somebody gets up to sing a song and you're like, oh, my God. The Lord's like, excuse me, did you call me? Yeah, what do you want? What's on your mind? Well, Lord, I just don't understand. They're giving me glory. What's your problem? You're trying to steal it from me?
Amen.
You're trying to get in the way? What's the problem? Well, how do you... Oh, well, what, you only deserve Pavarotti or something? What is that? You special, are you? When's the last time you did that? The last time you humbled yourself? When's the last time you just went to the altar just because I just need to go just to stay in the practice? Preacher, that's just, you know, I don't want to do anything that becomes routine. I'll cut it out. A lot of it's routine. It's a learned response. You say, what do? You brainwash your stinking kids. That's what you do. Hope that some of it sticks. So when they're away from you, they're thinking, God's around here somewhere. Mom and Dad said, God's always watching me. I've got to be careful here. Would you like to have this? No, God's watching me. Your parents aren't around. I ain't worried about them, but God's around here somewhere. Good. It'll keep them out of trouble. What you going to do when they get on their own? I don't want to force them into doing anything. That's modern theology. What they're teaching you now, they're teaching you to let your children have the choice on going to church. Where's that in the Bible?
Right.
Well, preacher, you have to understand we've gotten much developed since that time. No, that's backing up. You ain't getting developed. You don't let a kid do what they want to do. They're naturally going to do wrong.
Right.
Baby comes out, and as soon as he gets understanding, he starts reaching for things he's got no business touching.
Right.
You know what you have to do? Don't touch that. They're little babies. Oh, well, don't hurt them. You'll hurt their tender little feelings. You're right. I'm going to hurt more than their feelings if he keeps reaching out for something you're not supposed to. Because one day I'm not going to be there, but I'm going to tell him, don't touch that stove. And when I'm away, I want him to think I'm going to come down out of heaven and knock the tar out of him if he touches that stove when it's hot. I don't want to walk out of the house every time and turn around thinking the house is going to get burned down because I told him to leave the matches alone. What does that mean? That means leave him alone. Well, let him make the decision on that. You let him burn your house down. I talked to a lady the other day, and she says, it's only been 3 minutes. There's a whole cup of rocks in my freezer and some unknown key in my car. I don't know where he is right now, you know. Welcome to motherhood. You say, what do you got to do? Warp them. I didn't tell you how. You get them in the habit. You think they want anything to do with church. They're not naturally spiritual. You know what they'll do? They'll grow up and won't even get saved. You say, well, preacher, what happens if they grow up and get saved and go prodigal? I'd rather them be saved and go prodigal than go prodigal and be lost.
Right.
You say whatever you want to say. I pray they come back and come back the right way and all that other kind of stuff. But I'm telling you right now, I'd rather them be saved than be prodigal. I know this. Just because I've never been to the far country don't mean I ain't been prodigal every now and then myself.
Ain't nobody in here lives no cotton picking holy all the time life.
Amen.
I got to get to this thing here. I hadn't even got into the sermon tonight. Notice what the Bible says, verse 23. All things are lawful for me, and all things are not expedient. Notice he says, all things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. In other words, they're not good. You have a responsibility to think about the impact on other people.
Amen.
You ought to think long and hard before you ask somebody to go to the lake with you on Sunday.
Amen.
That's what I get out of the passage. It may be lawful for me, but what's the impact if I decide to do this? Well, that's what I'm doing. Want to do it together? Well, wait a minute. If that's God gave you the liberty to do that, is it right for you then to pull people in after you to do something that may be contrary, and then they think, well, you're more spiritually mature than I am, so I guess it must be okay? Does it edify? Does it encourage? Does it strengthen to do closer to the Lord or to go the opposite direction? Does it just now think about it for a second. Does it just soothe your conscience about doing something you kind of know you shouldn't be doing anyway? Preacher, I don't have no problem with what I'm doing. Okay, take your little head bob down the road. Go ahead and help yourself. I'm all for you having liberty. I don't do roll around here. I don't even know how many's on roll. I guess you could ask Brad. I have no idea. How many did you baptize last year? I don't know. How many got saved? I don't know. You say, why? I don't know. Keeping up with all that stuff kind of has a tendency to make you either compete against yourself or make you think you're really getting something done. I can't even remember how many got led to the Lord in prison last year. I don't know how many you have to ask, Brother Dave. I don't know how many students we have. How many students you got? I don't know. It's amazing we got any. I figure, hey, we got one. We're doing pretty good. How many of them are faithful? And how many? I don't know. Why are you so concerned about it? But you know what the Apostle Paul just said? The Apostle Paul just said, let me ask you a question. Do you consider the decision you're about to make's impact on other people? Well, why not, Christian? Why not, Christian? Well, I'll let my kids do so. Oh, okay, relax. But how come it is you've got to go grab another mama and say, well, you know, we let our kids watch so-and-so. We don't see a problem with that.
Amen.
Maybe your kids are mature enough to handle it. It ain't time to pray yet. Y'all are already looking at you like, I'm not telling you how to raise your kids. None of my business how you raise your kids. But what bothers me is when the weak Christian gets the perverted idea that, oh, Sunday just any other day and doing that's just any other way and going them places and doing that, that's no big deal. I think there's a consequence. But if there's not, no problem. We get to heaven. I'll just, you all get to stand up there and the Lord will go, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong, you were wrong. And you'll go, na, 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 na. But I'm going to bet you this. I'm going to bet you I'm not.
Amen.
You know what you have to tell a kid sometime? You're going. Why? Because you're living here.
Amen.
Listen, man, I was grown and out of the house. I moved out of the house when I was 18. I was a policeman when I was 19. I moved back. I was full-blown, can put somebody in jail and kill somebody and all that other kind of stuff, policeman. I went back over to visit my mom and dad in Panama City. He was pastor at First Baptist Church in Panama City at the time. And I got over there on a Saturday morning and visited there with a little bit and so on and so forth. And he says, are you planning on staying for the weekend? And I said, yes, sir, I planned on it. Thought it would be a good idea. He says, okay, you know what we do here on Sunday? I'm like, police. I didn't do that. I was like, yes, sir, we go to church on Sunday. You say, why? Well, you're a grown man. You can do what you want. He's, you're right. There's a motel down the road.
Right.
You're going to stay in my house. You're going to church.
Amen.
I want you to want to go. He didn't care if I wanted to go or not.
Amen.
You going.
Amen.
It was a presupposition when I drove over there that I knew if I was there on Sunday, this is going to make you puke. If I'm there Sunday morning, I'm going to the full meal deal.
Amen.
Sunday morning Sunday school, Sunday morning church, dinner, nap time. And if you stay in that night, you're going back Sunday night.
Amen.
But you're a grown man. I want you to like. I'm like, I'm a policeman. I don't care who you are. In my house, you're my boy, and you're going to church or go stay in the motel. Do what you want.
When you go back to your house, if you don't want to go, I don't care. When you're here, he never asked me, do you want to go? I'm so upset, I could go over to Arlington Cemetery and raise him from the dead and say, I can't believe you ever asked me. You didn't ever ask me if I really wanted to go. Not a single time did you ask me. Not a single time. Man, listen, it was the same rules for missing church as it was for missing school. You sick?
That's right, amen.
You sick? I'm not feeling real good. You got a fever? And he learned after a while because I'd take that thermometer, you know, and... I got a fever. He learned he'd stand there and watch it and say, okay, time's up, let me see it. Nah, 98.6, you ain't going to die. Get stuff ready, let's go. He wanted me to want it. But I'm almost 60 now, and I want to be here. Wonder where I got that. My want to got fixed. You think these punks right here want to go to church? Not all the time. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. And by the way, congratulations. Noel graduated from college.
Amen.
We big stuff now. We got a college gadget. Well done. I can't ever say the right name. The highest honor academically. Where's Mom at? No. What? Magnum cum laude. So you should congratulate her. Give her $5 to get some coffee with or something. That's a blessing. She's like, oh, amen, for sure. Let me help you with something. You've made this thing about church about choice. It's a foregone conclusion. God said, I died for the church. You'd like to be where what I died for, right?
Amen.
Why does he not give you an order to do it? Foregone conclusion. I'm sure you'd want to be there. And if you decide to pull somebody away from it, you just make sure you're in the will of God when you do it. No big deal. We're going to miss. We're going to the lake. Don't you want to come? We're going to have a good time. We'll take your kids. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit moving me now. Yeah, you take the kids. We'll go to church for all of us. Quickly. Let no man seek his own but another, every other man's wealth. That's not a verse to justify robbery. Come on down a little bit further, if you would, please. Verse number 28. But if any man say unto you, this is offered in the sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it for conscience sake, for the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. In other words, he's saying, look, you can eat the stuff offered to idols, but if it's going to offend somebody, it's not going to be edifying to somebody. Pass the meat up. Conscience, I say, not thine own. You're looking at real Christianity there. Did you see the next few words? But the one of the weaker brother. I can, but I can't. I don't have to be in church. No, you probably don't. You can probably handle it on your own. Sometimes you don't come for your benefits. You come to be an example to others. God help you if you're an example to them for their reason for missing. For why is my liberty judge of another man's conscience? For if by grace, he says, be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of? And that for that which I give thanks. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give none offense, neither to Jews nor Gentiles, nor to the church of God. Even as I pleased all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. Now, ladies and gentlemen, what he's trying to get across to you, what little bow I want to put on this, the spirit of the Antichrist says it's all about you and about your rights. It's about taking your authority away. It's about taking what Christianity is supposed to be away. It's about taking your church away. It's about destroying everything that God gave you to help you get things at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't tell me you're going to get a ton of rewards at judgment seat of Christ and you're not going to make available the things God gave you to be available. Well, I'll get what I want at the judgment seat of Christ and I'll never read my Bible. He said, give attendance to reading. How are you going to get around that one? Well, I'm going to get things at the judgment seat of Christ because I'm going to do what I want to do. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that is not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How are you going to get around that one?
The Bible says it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. I don't like preaching, but he says it pleased him.
Amen.
Well, that's just to save lost people. But I'm saved now. I don't have to have that. Okay. But how do you think you're going to get stuff at the judgment seat of Christ?
Amen.
Some of it has to do with submitting to authority.
Amen.
That's a hard thing. What is it? The authority of the preacher? No, no, no. The authority of this.
Praise.
God say it?
Amen.
You going to act on it? Well, I'll let you know the jury's out on that. Okay, you don't believe it. It'll have no effect on you. It'll be like BBs on a rubber tire.
Amen.
You say, why? It has no effect on those that don't believe it.
Right.
You know why the Bible has no power in your life? You say you believe it, but you don't act like you believe it.
Right. Amen.
If you believe it, you'd act on it.
Amen.
So hopefully that'll maybe help you to get the balance of the thing. You do what's right for your family and that kind of thing. You don't answer to me, you answer to the Lord, and you need to take some time off or do this or do that or whatever you do, that's fine. You want your kids to play sports and that kind of deal, that's fine. You want them to attend public school, private school, home school, whatever, that's your deal. It's your deal, it's your decision. None of those are spiritual. Your kid goes to a Christian school, that don't mean nothing. It means you got money that you are able to send them to a Christian school. That's all that means. Doesn't mean you're spiritual. Well, my kids are homeschooled. That means that you may not want them in the public school system, and you got a woman at home that's given to teach. But all women ain't. That don't make you spiritual. Just says, hey, you know what? The Lord blessed me with kids and gave me a good woman that's able to teach. Well, preacher, I'm not. Okay, well, hold on. Just keep your shirt on for just a second, and I'll be done here. What are you going to do with a single mom trying to raise kids? She ought to be home. The kids ought not be in public school. They better bless God. They should be homeschooled. Okay? They going to come to your house and be, I don't want them. Well, you're shooting your mouth off like it. Well, they shouldn't be divorced in the first place. Okay, big shot. By the way, Paul went to a public school. Moses went to a public school. That's something. I don't even know if Peter went to school. Where do you get that? That's somebody throwing a bunch of things to try to get you to think, well, you can cookie cut the kids out. No, you can't. No, you can't. No, you can't. Do the best you can with them. Raise them the best you can. Pray over them every chance you get. Let them know you're praying over them. Come here, boy. Put your hand on the head and say, bow your head. I'm praying for you. Dad, get your. You're messing up my hair. Dad, be still, boy. Pray for them.
Amen.
Pray for your daughters. Grandma and Grandpa, get down with them in bed at night. Don't do me this now. Lay me down, sleep, pray, amen. You know, don't do that. Don't pray God is great when it comes time to pray the blessing.
Amen.
Give them a prayer.
Amen.
Pray over your kids. Ask God to watch over. Let them know what that's like. Don't let them, the first time they hear a prayer, they walk into church and somebody's, oh God, bless them. And they're like, what's that? He's praying. Ooh, what? I don't like that. Pray for them. And do the best you can. And then at some point, that kid is going to become accountable to God on his own. And he may run to the pig pen and he may not, but you've done everything you know how to do the best you possibly can, and they may or may not turn out. It has nothing to do with whether you were a good parent or a bad parent. It has to do with how they deal with God.
Amen.
I ask you a question. In the Bible, Adam and Eve were the parents of Cain and Abel both. Is that right? How come one turned out and one didn't? Well, if you'll get the principle I'm teaching you, you'll find out that the problem had nothing to do with Adam and Eve at all. You know what it had to do with? It had to do with a man who, when God told him, that's not what I want, this is what I want, who said, I'll have it my way. And God said, okay, you can get out with a mark on you for the rest of eternity. I'm done with you. And Abel's down there laying in the ground, pleasing to God, and he's mentioned in the book of Hebrews. You say, what does it boil down? A personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Every time. Every time. And that's what I want you to understand. Now, I love you. Don't be upset with me and be mad. But, folks, you better start pushing back.
Amen.
You better start pushing back. I'm telling you, man, there is a storm coming like nothing you've ever seen. You better start pushing. I mean, pushing like nobody's business when it comes to that spiritual stuff. Hey, man, everything else takes a back seat. Or before you know it, it'll be gone. And your nation will be a third world country and you'll be persecuted and put in jail or have your rights taken away from you and everything else for being a Christian. And then you're going to be up the creek with no means of motivation. You say, why? Because you'll say, well, I'd rather have this and that. I didn't talk about the mark of the beast at all. It's already happened in England. It's already happened in China. It's happened in Japan. It's happened in Arabia over there, in Saudi Arabia. It's happened in all kind of countries like that that used to be Christian, and now all of a sudden you get caught being a Christian, they kill you.
Right. Amen.
Coming soon to a theater near you. Oh, it'll never happen here. You keep on just letting them take over and take over and take over and take over, and you mark my words, it'll happen right here in your so-called Christian nation. And it won't be a president that takes your rights. It'll be God saying, okay, you don't want me? I'll give you Saul. I love you. I did everything I could for you. You don't want me? I'll give you what you asked for. Here's Saul and all of his preachers. And here's Ahab and here's Jezebel and all their prophets of Baal. Have at it, buddy. You can have it. Stand together and be dismissed. Thank you for coming tonight. Appreciate it if you'd pray. I'm leaving for Tennessee in the morning, and I'll be back on Thursday. I got a meeting up there. Hoping to pray the Lord to get something done there. And if you'd pray for us, we sure would appreciate that very much. Brother Jerry Gentry, appreciate you and Miss Sandy having the folks out there yesterday and the shenanigans out there and all that was.